All right, you guys, welcome to the podcast, Life, It's Better with a Bow, powered by Protect. And our guest today is a real special guest for me, actually a super good friend and sort of partners, Ryan Carter from DC Outfitters.
Better say best friend.
Best friend.
There we go.
Yeah, we are best friends. Ryan and I, quick story, we met, it was actually pretty funny. I was in a car accident a long time ago, 2004.
Yeah.
Is that the year we met or did we meet in 05? I think it was 04, dude.
Dude, no, you just got out of the, we both just got out of the hospital.
Yeah, so I was in a car accident and had a lot of issues, and Ryan was in a motorbike or a dirt bike accident. Yep. And had plenty of issues, broken bones, collapsed lung. Mm-hmm. And we had a mutual friend. And we decided it was my first hike out. It wasn't just after the hospital. It had been a few months because I think it was in the fall. We were looking for deer.
I had only been out a week.
Yeah.
I don't even think a full week.
When was your accident?
Do you remember?
Mine was in the first week of April. It was April 4th, I think, 2004.
Yeah. It was probably in June.
Yeah. Because I remember
we were scouting for deer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so Ryan and I both... injured. It was my first outing, actually, out of the house since the accident, and it was also yours. You were a one-lunger at that time,
mm-hmm.
And it took us forever to hike up to the top. It took us all night to get there. We get up on top, cold as can be, and so Ryan and I met by cuddling on the top of the mountain.
Shared
to stay
coat.
Warm.
I remember Hump Bear Ridge. Yep. It was awesome.
It was awesome. And
you had a metal plate in your head.
Yep. And you had a lung that wasn't working.
Well, I was out of the hospital. It had been drained. But I had stitches. They had to do one of those holes in your ribs and where they pumped all the fluid out.
I remember getting home and telling my wife, like, hey, I enjoyed that experience, but it was way too much for me. I think I was dead for the next week or 10 days.
Yeah, and it's not a hard mountain to climb. we just weren't in the right condition.
No, exactly. So that's how Ryan and I met, and ever since then, we've been really good friends. I drew an elk tag on a premier unit in Utah in 2010. And we spent many, many a day chasing elk together. I know begrudgingly for you, but we were on a four-wheeler on the side-by-side cruise, and Ryan's hat blew off. And we'd been there a while, right? I mean, this is late into the season, cold as can be.
Yeah, I think I spent 18 days on that hunt, and you were 24, 25?
Yeah, something like that. Anyway, you're like, oh, my hat blew off. So I turn around to get it, and...
my lucky hat.
Mm-hmm. And, we may have this on video because I was laughing so hard. But anyway, so I drive around, and I run over his hat after I had hit a cow pie. And just the tracks just happened to line up on your hat.
Yeah. And so, I kept wearing the hat.
Heck yeah, dude. It was... scent proof.
And then you didn't kill a bull, so I threw that away.
Yeah, I didn't. Now that's not for lack of finding them.
No, you passed some nice bulls.
We passed some nice bulls. The last bull we actually chased that I did draw back on, I couldn't see good through the peep, and then I got busted on the second time.
Well, we walked in the dark.
Yep.
It's full moon.
Yep.
We could see him laying there at 160 yards.
And then he got up, they're bugling everywhere, and he walked basically right to us.
Yep.
And started raking the brush. And you could see him just fine, but once I came to full draw, I could not see through the peep good enough to pick him out.
I was giving you a range. You know when it's like that dark that you can't... I don't think we had red rangefinders back then.
We didn't.
They were black, and I remember ranging him, and then I'd have to look up in the sky to see what the numbers were.
Yeah.
'Cause it was too dark.
Yards.
Yeah.
And he was a giant.
Mm-hmm.
Then he moved.
I dare say he'd crack that four mark.
Yeah. He moved into the timber, and we followed him, and that's when I got busted again at 52 yards.
Yeah,
he just needed two more steps, and it would have been gone.
We called him back.
But
like, we didn't have time to set up to where, I could have pulled him to you.
Yeah.
I was calling right next to you, which made him hang up.
Yeah.
At 50 something yards and just no shot there.
We just need one more step. And it was wide open, but he was smart. He stood there and watched me forever at full draw. And then he turned, and he didn't run. He just turned and walked off, and we tried to get back on him, and then that was it. We never saw him again. Now, if I remember right, that outfitter friend of yours, they killed him on the rifle hunt because you were like, hey, there's a giant bull down here.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they shoot him opening morning? I'm pretty sure they did.
Hmm.
Honestly,
I couldn't recall.
Yeah.
I mean, knowing what I know now, especially that spot, that's where we shot our 390 bull this year, same spot.
Really?
Well, the ridge right above there couldn't have been 600 yards from right there. And knowing what I know now, I think we could have killed him pretty quick.
But well, it was, I have zero regrets. I did pass up. I had Piggly Wiggly.
Piggly Wiggly was a nice bull.
He was a big bull, and I had him at 7 yards mm-hmm. broadside, just asking for an arrow.
360 and archery.
Some people would say that that was a mistake. However, I've killed a nice bull, and this was a unit where we felt like the opportunity at 400 was there.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was.
And it was. Right. I mean, I wouldn't have been able to be at full draw on a 400-inch bull had I shot him. So I have zero regrets on that. It was one of the funnest hunts, but we put a lot of time into that hunt.
Mm-hmm.
You gave me a four-leaf clover.
Mm-hmm.
For good luck, it didn't work, so I threw it away.
And you had elk chops. Do you remember the elk chops?
Yep, I had elk chops. I had shaved my beard into an elk antler on both sides.
Yep.
It looked probably more like a turkey track, but I was feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah, and that wasn't good luck either, so those have never come back.
No, those have never been back.
Thank goodness.
Dude, you should grow them on that fine beard of yours. If any of you know Ryan Carter, he's on Instagram as Ryan at DC Outfitters, I think. Is that what it is? Or is it just DC Outfitters?
No, it's Ryan at DC.
Yeah, so Ryan at DC, he has a well-coiffed beard usually. Right now, he's got a super dirty stash going on.
It's dirty.
And but that beard, man, that thing is sharp.
Yeah.
And dark. You're getting a little salt and pepper now, but
it's been 2 years since I've had a full beard, and I've been rocking the stash for 18 months now.
It's a stash. His wife loves it, doesn't she?
No, she doesn't. She doesn't.
So,
but yeah, the beard's really gray now.
Yeah, well, mine is gray. There's no salt and pepper anymore. I'm just old. But you guys, we got Ryan on here for a couple reasons. One, good friend. Two, Ryan has been involved in the journey of Total Archery Challenge since its inception as an idea. What the plans were, what we were going to do, pretty heavily involved in helping us push it out there to the masses in its infancy.
Mm-hmm.
And then just the other thing is elk season's pretty much over across the West. So we just kind of want to talk elk season, what your thoughts are. You had a great elk season this year.
Mm-hmm.
How long you been guiding? Quite a while now.
Yeah. Me and you started DC. DC's DeGray Carter.
Right.
That would have been.
Not much DeGray going on there, but.
the idea was you were supposed to bring all the money, guys, and I was supposed to do all the legwork, and I'm good with that. But then tax started same time.
Yeah, it was the same time.
Just ended up being what it was.
Yeah, just got busy doing that.
But
it's been 2012, right?
That was after your hunt. I think, 2011.
Yeah, 2011 is when we formed it all, 2012.
Before that, I was doing Christensen Arms, and then we had the gap because everything split. So, I don't know. I've been guiding since 05 about.
Long time.
Yeah.
Long time. And then as far as you were guiding for other people, whatever, and then now you're guiding on your own, do you like that transition of being the main man? Like going from I'm guiding these clients to now I'm guiding these clients and I'm doing everything else as the owner of the outfit?
Well, I've tried to pull myself out of it.
Okay.
Like technically I only booked myself for two guys this year.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up being there on most of the kills, same with last year, which I like spending time with my guys, and I like mentoring the people I have in my crew. I honestly feel like I have some of the best elk hunters in the state.
So that's what I was going to say, Ryan, is you, this is, I've guided for a lot of outfitters, but I've worked with a ton of outfitters. Even prior to Total Archery Challenge, I guided forever, really, since I got out of high school.
Oh, yeah.
And, but I've also worked and booked hunts for a ton of outfitters across the U.S. One thing I will say about your outfit that I love, and this is not being biased because I would tell you otherwise, is that you have a hell of a crew. And I think you have taught them that I see a lot of Ryan in how they do things. Like these guys aren't just give me a client. We're going to go do our thing, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like you guys work so hard, all of them all year long to do the best they can.
Almost expect it.
Yeah.
You know, I have pretty high expectations of those guys. And when I bring them on, that's what I tell them. Like we're not here to just kill elk and go home. We're here to kill the best. You guys are the best. I'm going to pay you the best. You're going to work the best. And we're going to go home the best end of each year.
Yeah.
And it's been doing pretty well, I think.
Dude, it's been doing awesome. You have great guys.
Oh.
Personality-wise, great guys. Like, hardworking, great guys. Expect success of themselves, great guys.
Great guys, yeah.
Like, and you guys have been thrown... look, I'm not... My name's on the... I'm the D in DC, but I'm not involved really unless you really needed help. But you and I are always in touch and talking to your guys. Your guys are just great people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I love. It's not, they're the kind of guys that when you do a hunt with Ryan, and when I say Ryan, with DC Outfitters, his guys, if it's a tough hunt, it's still a good hunt. Like that's the kind of guide they are.
Oh, yeah.
They know how to make it exciting fun. And fun, even when it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is a quality that is tough to get with a lot of these outfits.
Well, these hunts are hard. I know a lot of people look at limited entry, Southern Utah, Arizona, and you're thinking cakewalk.
Yeah.
Like, and they're fun hunts, man. Like calling in bulls, like you don't have to be Corey Jacobson.
Yeah.
Like you can call bulls.
Even I can call bull.
Right. It's super fun. But trophy hunting these units is not a cakewalk by any means. And so, yeah, like we're looking to have a good time. We try to lighten things up, make it easy, and because every morning something's hard.
Yeah. And you're dealing with all the public. It's not like you're on private land.
Well, yeah, they are public tags. There's still a lot of spike hunters, deer hunters. Mm-hmm. You know, everyone's there. It's just getting away from the groups and isolating a couple big bulls, you know. And
yeah.
It's not like this is one of my better years. I think Southern Utah did pretty well through that wet winter last year. I think if I really had to tack it down, we had 12 bulls that I thought would break book.
Wow.
And that's running the whole unit and 120-something cameras start to finish in July. Only one of them died. Like, that's how hard the unit is. Like, and we killed one, and he was, like, number seven. He wasn't even, like...
the top end.
Even in our top end. I think most of the top end's walking, unless I miss something. But I try to keep a pretty good eye on what dies.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
Like, to say we put in those kind of hours, like, I require my guys about 22 days of scouting before season starts.
Yeah.
That's kind of where we sit, and that's what I tell my clients. I'm like, look, I probably charge a little more than the normal guy. But those 20 days come with it.
Yeah.
That's why my guys know the mountain. That's why they know the bulls. It's hard. That's a hard unit.
And the thing about, I mean, you're in a lot. You've expanded your reach quite a bit over the years. Like, you have your mountain you love.
Mm-hmm.
But you're all of Southern Utah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, if somebody draws a tag in the bottom half of the state of Utah.
That's my half court.
Yeah.
I-70.
Yeah. You know. You've got, you're everywhere, and you were this year. You had quite a few outside of your normal walk. So the thing that I think, in fact, here, I had a guy call me a couple days ago, you know, hey, what would you do about, I've got a guy who wants to hunt this unit, and he's got this many points or whatever, and I'm like, well, hands down, that's Ryan. There is nobody else.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are other outfitters out there. But I just know you, but I also know your guys. So I know if I recommend somebody, they're going to be taken care of.
Yeah.
So that's what I love about it. But you guys had a phenomenal year this year for not killing the bulls that were on your hit list. And didn't you kill a giant that you didn't even, like, you didn't even know he was in there? Or did you know about him? You killed that big bull. He was pushing 400. Now, did you know he was in there?
No. Well, I mean, we had pictures of him. On the other side of the unit, he'd migrated quite a ways, and I didn't put two and two together till he was on the ground. You know, it's crazy that, I mean, that bull was pushing for, killed a sheep this year. Yes, that was cool.
Your own, which we're going to get into that.
Like, well, and I mean, we did a goat on another unit, and we did, geez, a really good late season bull. We did two bucks off Antelope Island.
Yes.
One was 260 inches.
Yep, we'll talk about that.
All in all, even taking all that in, I think my favorite part of the year was archery hunt. We killed three bulls over a buck in 4 days.
That's awesome.
I know there's private land you can do that, and I know there's places that you could probably kill three bulls in 4 days, but three buck bulls in 4 days with bows, dude, it was freaking crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I can't imagine, even with all that other stuff included, I will ever top something like that.
Right. Like, well, what was your most exciting hunt, though, for you?
Probably that.
Really? Probably. Even more so than your sheep?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
I loved the sheep, but it was over fast.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Zach Kurtzall's bull for me was probably the highlight of my year.
Yeah. So what's the story on that?
Zach's the president of Hoyt.
Uh-huh.
Super good dude. In fact, I was surprised at how well we got along and how much fun we had.
Good.
No, it was crazy. We had the coolest, like, archery camp ever. Kyle Ostrand was there. Kyle's done five tags with me. Killed 380-something bull, a 421 bull. Like, Kyle's killed some bulls. Ate one or two tags.
Yeah.
And then this year shot our number seven bull. So we got into that post-Labor Day. Everything was firing up.
Yeah.
And we turned up. Kyle missed our, what I would call my number one bull. Kyle, we were like 10 days in. Just didn't quite close the gap enough. Took a shot. Shot just under him, 80 yards.
Dang it.
Well, I don't know. You know, it was one of those things like, probably shouldn't have threw that arrow, but at the same time, that was his window.
Yeah.
And Kyle can shoot that far. It's just, I don't recommend shooting elk that far.
Right.
I'm not a huge fan. But you know, if I failed stock there, and we're 1 in 8, that's my average on archery elk. Like, I always tell everyone, like, stock everything, because we're 1 in 8.
Yeah.
And if you get on him and you draw and you don't like him, don't shoot. Yeah. It's fine. Like, let's bow hunt. That's what bow hunting is. So to Kyle's credit, like, dude, we had a good time on his eighth stock. He was working in on his number one bull, but my number two bull. Great big 6x7. Probably, if he doesn't break 4, he's damn close.
Yeah.
Got on him multiple times at about 100 yards. The crappy thing about this year, a lot of my bigger bulls all kind of necked into one area. And I had all three of those bow hunters kind of hunting 7, maybe 9 miles straight of the same latitude.
Gotcha.
Same elevation, just spread out.
Yeah.
By the time that day had come, three of our top bulls were within 5 miles of each other.
Wow.
Really just scanning two canyons. So that morning I just said, hey, Aaron had taken off to go to church, had something to do with, you know, one of his jobs in that church. I just said, I'm going to take all three of you. Like, Bennett, I need you to spot, and we're just going to split up, and one of these bulls is dying today. So I had one guy on their exit route, one guy coming in from above them, and one guy coming in from below them. And it was within the first couple of minutes of light, I picked up the two bulls, number seven bull had come in through the night, didn't even know he was there till that morning.
Yeah.
And the other bull was up top, and they started fighting.
The two?
And I remember Bennett getting on the radio like, this is awesome. I'm like, no, it's not. They're going to break. I was freaking out. Well, they kind of get done fighting, and the loser ended up being number seven, just walking straight to Kyle.
Wow.
Like on a string. Like it was the weirdest thing. I told Kyle, I'm like, bull's coming at you. Kill the radio. Let's go. Like he's like, where do I need to be? I'm like, you're there. Just sit down.
Like, wow.
And it was crazy. The bull walked right in on top of him, 20 yards. First arrow, the bull kind of ran 60 yards, stood there, splayed out. Second arrow, bull went in the brush. Took us a little while to find him, but we ended up finding him. Great bull. I don't remember. I don't even know if we scored all of those bulls. Just what I know of him, I think he'd be high 70s, low 80s.
That's awesome. The picture looks like it. Of course, you know, you never know with pics, but the picture looks like a giant.
Well, I always do my best to make pictures look good.
Yeah.
The job isn't to make them look bigger. The job is just to make it look good, like we were successful.
A nice photo.
This is what it is. And I did some reels full, like, spanning the whole thing. Like, I don't – he was what he was. But regardless, I don't know what book is on archery. Do you? 330?
Yeah, I don't know. I should know, but right. I don't. But, it's like that, somewhere in there.
325, 330. So to break 375 with a bow – you know, whatever he is, whether he's 375 or 390, I don't know, but he's big. And it was pretty cool. The next morning, we went in to pack Kyle's bull out, and I had sent Zach and Darren. Zach actually saw another bull that we thought we like knew who he was, cross this big open. I said, you know what? He's going to be standing right here in this spot, and I marked it on Onyx tomorrow. It's like, take Darren in. One of you set up. I don't care. You guys draw straws. Call. I'll help Kyle get this bull pictures pack. Get out, and at lunch we'll go make another round. Well, I walked into my ex, and I know it's just luck, but no kidding, he was standing right there.
Dude, that's fantastic.
No, I mean, it was just like, they were like, it was crazy. We stood on your ex, bugled, he ripped back, Zach dropped back, Darren stood there. He goes, he started cow calling a couple times, the bull came walking in head on. And Zach's perspective was the funniest, because he's like, I'm sitting there calling, and the bull walks right in on Darren. I could see Darren at full draw. And I'm looking at the bull, and he kind of stood there, and he's looking at him. And all of a sudden, the bull, like, took three steps back and then turned and started walking off. And he's like, it was weird. So I walk up. I'm like, Darren, what happened? He's like, well, I shot him. He's like, wait, what? You did? Like, he never saw his bow go off. He never didn't even register. He didn't hear anything.
Wow.
Just all of a sudden, the bull stepped back, throat shot him. Bull went about 30 yards, tipped over.
Nice.
And that bull was awesome, too. He was a bent pedicle bull, so he had that twisted kind of...
off the base.
The base comes right out right above his eye. Ended up being like 54, 55 inches on his inside spread.
Wow.
I did measure that. His bull's about the same. Honestly, score-wise, he might have had the biggest bull in the group. Definitely broke book.
Wow.
I remember we taped one of the bulls. I know we taped one. I kind of think it was Zach's. But also the very next day, we're like going in. I finished packing the one bull in the morning, turned around, went and got the other bull that afternoon. And the next day was Zach's turn. Like,
while you're talking, I'm looking up because I do remember you talking about one of the scores on those bulls. So I was going to see if that was you and I on the phone. Or I'm looking at photos right now of your maybe we could share this photo if you were okay with it. But there's a picture here of your crew and those three bulls.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a picture maybe we could share when we highlight this
For sure.
podcast, because those are all of them are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's unreal.
So. Well, that's why I say, I mean, even when I look at all the crazy things we did this year, I mean, I saw some awesome animals fall this year.
Yes, you did.
But I still say that the next one, because I wasn't there for Darren's, I didn't get to see that head-on kind of action. I watched Kyle shoot, and that was cool, but it was 1,500 yards away or whatever it was, you know. Zach's, the next morning, like, Kyle was set to go home, had his trailer pulled, and he's like, you know, I think I should stay. Like, let's try to find this bull for Zach as a team. I'm like, awesome.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's going, you're going here, 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 and here. And we all split up. And the first crack of light, I'm walking out on my little toe, and I hear a bugle below me. And so I kind of hesitate on dropping in. I'm like, I'm going to wait till I can see. I don't know what that bull is.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting there, and the bull kind of curls around the ridge I'm on. And I can hear him. He's calling, making a bunch of noise. Kyle gets on the radio. Hey, I just found this bull. That's the bull we're looking for. I'm like, really? I'm like, which way are you looking? And he says, well, I'm not sure, but I think I'm looking up where you should be sitting. And I'm like, yeah, okay. So I heard the bull. I said, let me get the other guys. I said, you know, what's he doing? Like, he's like, dude, he's just up on that ridge doing elk stuff.
Like, yeah.
Okay, I'll get it figured out. Let me go get the other guys. So I went and got Darren and Zach. We slipped down on the ridge. Our wind wasn't great. We're kind of sitting there for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because rather than blow it all out, you know, if we could get him to bed down, if we had to wait till the wind shifted, whatever we needed to do, it was better for us to just sit. So we're sitting, and he's calling, and I'm like, God, this just seems like a lot of talk for a bull, like by himself.
Yeah.
So I get on. I'm like, Kyle, does he have cows? Oh, yeah, there's three cows. I'm like, dude, why didn't you tell me that 20 minutes ago? So I set Darren up, kind of got the wind squared away. I set Darren up above us. I said, hey, sweet, talk to those ladies. Like, I'm going to take Zach over here. We're going to set up. Zach, well, we're the same age. Zach would be a year older than me and you, mm-hmm. or two. And Zach's got readers and a one pin. So he's got a dial, right? So he has these, like, readers.
His little magnifying
He's got
glasses.
Readers on the brim of his hat that he's got to flip down. You know, and this is cool. I got him on another one of my favorite bulls. Honestly, I had a hard time scoring him because, golly, he's like an 8x6 that I think – with the extra points, would throw him probably in the 410 range.
Wow.
But, God, every now and then he would turn. I'd back on my score a little bit. But when, God, me and Zach had him at 30 yards.
Yeah.
Oh, no, not quite 30. Would have been about 55 yards.
What's the name of this bull?
That's ODB. ODB. Isaac Olliman named him Old Dirty Bastard.
Nice. Gotcha.
Yeah. So, and, you know, when Isaac was hunting his bull, that bull lived in that area, and he was like a 360 type bull. Mm-hmm. He had the exact same frame, but this year he put on an extra G3. Like, so he had two G3s coming up out of the same spot on the beam.
Wow.
And then he had a triple brow below mm-hmm. that. So, I mean, before his G4, he was a 6-point.
Wow.
And, I mean, he was just huge. We had him. The problem was Zach was trying to range and dial his pin through his reader, and the cows were all looking at him doing it as this bull's coming in. And we didn't – I mean, they eventually keyed in on him, and the cows got nervous and pulled the bull away. He never got a shot. What cost us was probably him adjusting with that single pin. Mm-hmm. Which I'm not a fan of those sights anyway. Never have been.
Of single pin. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so we got this bull, set Darren up. I kind of get squared away with Zach. Darren starts calling. That bull came in seconds.
Really?
He cut 120 yards and
like just left his cows.
Yeah.
Wow.
Seriously, like seconds.
Darren sounded pretty ready, huh? Darren he was willing and ready.
Darren's a really good caller. He hit the lane like I set up on a lane and I'm like, well, he's going to cross it for sure. But it'd be nice if he walks right up the lane at us, you know, which he did. Popped out. I ranged him 93, 83. Here he comes, 74. He had to clear some oak brush. Like he had just a little patch in the middle that he had to walk through, which I didn't think he would. I kind of thought he'd cut to the side at that point. But he walked right through the oak brush. And you know how elk kind of tip their head through the oak brush. So he's tipping his head back and forth. He's halfway through the oak brush. He starts bugling. His chest just clears the brush. And I told Zach, 49.4. Dude, he just sent it mid-bugle right through the throat.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh. Dude, I haven't seen blood pump like that in a long time. Like, just pouring. That bull died and just super fast. Way cool. Big bull. Wasn't the bull we thought he was, but still another one of those. Like,
he's a great bull.
Oh, yeah. Like, as a typical six, I know he breaks buck. I just don't know if he's 375, 380. One of the bulls, I know we measured at 378, but I don't remember which one.
Yeah.
But because they're all right there. I don't think any of them would break 385.
Yeah. But
they're all nice bulls.
Dude, they're giant. I mean, people throw around that number 400, and you've been involved in quite a few bulls in that 400-plus range. But in the end, 370 bull is a giant bull. Yeah, a 360 bull is a giant bull.
350
right?
bull is a like, to really me, the second, nice bull.
Once they break 340, they start to look really good to me. I mean, big. Like, I don't know what it is about that 340 mark, but the second they break into that and start going up, it's like, that's a big bull. I mean, we got two bulls here that are, I mean, they're probably, I don't know, 350 or something right there. And they look giant.
Yeah.
Of course, they're on the ground waiting to be hung.
They'll look good up.
But still, it...
Well, the difference between 340 and 370 is 1 inch per tine.
Yeah.
And the difference between 340 and 400 is 2.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's it.
There's very few guys that can tell the difference between 12 and 14 inches.
Yeah.
Or, like, it's super hard.
Or 2 and 9.
Right. Or 3.
Yeah, it... I know a lot of people sometimes get caught up in that number, but dude, giant bulls are giant bulls. Now I was guilty of that to a certain degree when I hunted with you because I wanted the biggest bull on the mountain.
Yeah.
But I had my sights set on that out of the get go. I knew I wasn't going to shoot anything less than what we deemed was absolute giant monster because I had killed a good bull. And I have opportunity to hunt that property again. It was private land with Trophies West Outfitters, and those guys have phenomenal elk. And I'm going to go back and hunt with them again, actually here in the next year or two. The tags are harder to draw, but I've got enough points now. I should be good to go. So I say that of people getting caught up. I'm one of them. But I had also killed a really good bull.
I like having clients like that. I like guys that are willing to sit and just hold out.
I have two hunts that are like my most, well, I added a third this year, but there's three hunts out of all the years that are like, these are my favorite hunts I've ever been on. And one of them was that boulder. That boulder hunt in 2010. Now, we didn't get anything, but we were hustling. I mean, I lost so much weight. All we did was chase. I've never had that much activity ever. And we did it the entire hunt. In fact, I had, between you, Jeff Lee, and myself, I only hunted by myself, I think, what, 4 or 5 days? That was it. Other than that, I had somebody with me the whole time. That hunt, my mountain goat hunt, and then I just did this year, my 16-year-old and I were in Alaska. He had a moose tag. And so I've got to do it on our own, and that might be a new... favorite of mine, but there was more involved in that than just him killing. He killed a phenomenal bull. And there was more involved, just kind of like, you got to pack these things out. They're super heavy. It's the hardest pack I've had yet. We ended up going 4 miles instead of sticking with the rule of a mile to a mile and a half. And so because of watching my son deal with that, those challenges, that's become a favorite. But outside of that, Sean's hunts, his personal hunts, I mean, that elk hunt's at the top. So
that would be one of my favorites too.
I just love it. But we're going to shift. Actually, I have a couple questions. Then we're going to shift gears on a couple of your other hunts. How you feeling about elk? Utah and elk. You feeling like we're moving in a good direction? You feeling like you're still seeing these giant bulls that you're hoping to find year after year? Are you concerned at all with management as far as, because I know they're making a lot of changes. They're definitely making changes in the deer area down there on the Boulder. But you liking what you're seeing? You excited about the future?
We're talking about age class and quality.
Yes.
You know, they've got to make some changes. If we're going to allow this next generation opportunity, your kids, my kids,
yep,
our kids' kids, we've got to be able to either increase tag flow or, because as of right now, even now, 25 years, I mean, that's, might get one elk tag. You might get two, but that's about it.
Right.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. I mean, if people are okay with that maybe only once in your life opportunity, like that's what my Rocky's going to be now. Like,
yeah,
I might get a hunter Rocky before I die.
Yeah.
46.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wow.
You got a wow. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, if people are okay with that, then yeah, leave it the same. Like, yeah, let's keep the same objectives and try to get trophy class out. But as it is right now, by next year, we'll have increased the entire tag pool by 50%.
In elk.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Statewide.
Wow. Okay.
The entire statewide.
Wow.
And honestly, our elk herds don't look that good anyway.
Yeah.
They've done a bad job at managing cows. Our cattle, the livestock on public land has been abused really bad.
Yeah.
Statewide, not mm-hmm. just one spot. So elk as a whole haven't looked great. We're bouncing back off a couple drought years. They've increased tags. I watched a lot of 300 bulls die this year.
Did you?
I can't imagine waiting 18, 20 years for a tag and shooting a 300 bull.
Yeah, like, so here's my thoughts on that. I think some of that, Ryan, is guys draw the tag, don't have time to come scout, whatever that may be. Either don't have time or just don't want to. Mm-hmm. Then they get down there. They're not seeing 350 bulls running everywhere. And they're like, I only got 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
I've waited 18 years. I'm shooting that bull. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I saw that happen in my experience a few times. And I think that's a lot of it. A lot of guys are just like, I don't even care.
Mm-hmm.
Letting her rip. The battle is, what do people want? I would say the majority, it feels like the majority loves the idea, romanticizes about the idea of killing a big bull,
mm-hmm.
but in the end, they just want to kill a bull.
Mm-hmm. And I think our state recognizes that. And that's why I say, I don't know if I'm upset about this.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair.
I want to see opportunity increase and what it's going to do to hunters, what it's going to do to outfitters. You know, we kind of have a problem with outfitters.
In what sense?
Like,
do you mean?
Well,
too many. It too easy to get an outfitter license,
or they're too good.
Too good. Okay.
Right. Like I have 24 deer points.
Yeah.
I refuse to put in on the Ponsagon.
Okay.
Because typically, if you have one deer over two or two or three, all of those deer are on somebody's hit list, and there's a bunch of outfitters sitting on that deer.
Yeah.
So there's certain units that are just oversaturated in outfitters, and I don't even want to mess with it.
Yeah.
I want to get lost and shoot a nice desert deer that nobody else is kind of watching.
Yeah.
Just even if he's not as big.
Yeah. Yep.
Like I want the romantic hunt. That's what I want.
Yeah. Be alone. Do your thing. Yep.
And a lot of these places, there's so many outfitters. You know, there's on the Boulder, like where I like to go, there's like four places you can glass, right? The rest of it's just a big plateau.
Right.
Those four glassing spots have six outfitters sitting on them every single morning.
Gotcha.
Right. And a couple DIY guys.
Yep.
Because they don't know anything different. We have to glass. We don't know how to hunt without glassing.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah, totally. It's just one strategy, right?
Right.
And some people are better at it than others.
Right. Whereas the guys that know how to put in the work and get on the ground and do the actual hustle, they're going to kill the nice bulls.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of these plateau units, I think Panguitch Lake, Boulder, mm-hmm. I mean, they're going to do great. Like, this isn't going to kill us.
Just because it's a harder hunt.
Right.
Yeah.
But some of these units that you can glass that have really successful late season options.
Yeah.
The beaver specifically, which traditionally has been one of Utah's best units. I think one of those tags was sold for $200,000 last year.
Jeez.
Now, it's ridiculous. But that unit's going to struggle.
Yeah. Because they're going to get killed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, less are going to slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
Like this year, a lot of our 340 bulls died. Well, yeah. Those are our 360s, 370s next year.
Yeah.
Maybe we had one or two of those big 370, 380 bulls make it through. We might have a couple fours like next year, but it's slim pickings.
Yeah.
So it's good. It's bad. Whatever. We'll see.
It just depends what you want, right? Mm-hmm. So it would be kind of cool to see. In my mind, I'm thinking, you know, why don't you pick two units that are like, these are our trophy units, and we're managing them for gargantuan bulls to satisfy that need for the guys that are like, yeah, I'll wait 30 years.
But
and then we have everywhere else.
That's what Colorado's done, right?
Yeah, is it? Okay.
Unit 2 and Unit 10, that's what those units are.
They're like the premium unit.
And you go out there during their rifle season, you hit those units October 5th, and you drive around on those ridges, and it's a bunch of old men on four-wheelers.
Gotcha.
They've all max point guys, 28 years.
Okay.
They're all in their 60s. None of them want to get out and do the work.
Yeah.
And you're seeing a lot of gored bulls, like, because people aren't really getting off and killing the bulls that are.
So they're fighting, breaking up, and whatever.
Yeah.
So interesting.
I don't know that that's a good strategy either.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, I mean, there's a bunch of, like, ideas.
Yeah.
You know, the only frustrating thing to me about all of it is that the public has no, like, say.
Right. They have, like, the rack meetings, but in the end, they're going to just do whatever.
A lot of these rack meetings they've had, they really haven't listened to the people. The people get up, we say our piece, and they don't take any into account, and those couple guys vote, and that's what happens.
Yeah.
And they're not taking a lot of public opinion into consideration, and the worst part about it is they're not taking science into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the biologists aren't backing what they're pushing.
Gotcha.
Like, what's the point of taking away scopes on muzzleloaders this year?
Yeah, I don't know. I heard there was a 3% difference in success with a scope.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you want my opinion, I think what it's going to do is wound more animals.
A lot of animals.
Yeah, people are like, what the hell?
Yep.
And let her rip. There, to me, it doesn't make sense because there isn't. If it was like 30%, like a high margin of percentage of success increase by the scope, but that, according to the stuff I read on the DWR's website, it was like 3%.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, marginal.
What's the point?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, because
we are going to wound more animals.
It's a guarantee.
Which results in more kills eventually.
Because open sights at 300 yards, that's a hard shot.
Yeah.
Even practice, that's still a pretty hard shot.
And guys get in their head, 300 yards is nothing.
Yep, exactly.
And that's a poke.
Yeah. I don't know why they changed that. They did a few different... They've made some changes. I asked one of the local wildlife officers, like, why are they making rules that... Like, some of these rules they can't even enforce.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even have a way to enforce it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why are they making all these rules that can't even be enforced? And he's like, he's speaking on behalf of his group of people. But he says, a lot of us have said the same thing. He's like, why are you adding this stuff that in the end doesn't make a difference, but it's something more we're supposed to be concerned about? We can't even fight this.
Mm-hmm.
So why are you doing it? I feel like there's a lot of stuff in Utah that's popped up that I think is, well, I think a lot of it's anti-outfitter, Ryan. I feel like some of this stuff is anti-outfitter, like, for mm-hmm. whatever reason. And I don't, even some of those rules, I'm like, well, how are you going to police that?
Mm-hmm.
So... I don't know. I don't know. Hunting's changing quite a bit. But I put in Utah, but I haven't hunted elk in Utah since 2010, except for when you've asked me to come help, short of, you know, the archery over the counter stuff with my boys. But I go to Colorado every year.
Great.
And hunt elk.
Oh, dude, there's opportunity. Dude,
there is a lot of opportunity in Colorado for nice bulls. He wasn't a giant.
Well, not just Colorado. I mean, Idaho has over-the-counter tags.
Yeah,
I mean,
Idaho.
Kind of a mess getting them anymore. But New Mexico isn't like there's a lot of units you can drive a year, every other year.
Yeah.
Like there's opportunity out there for elk. It's just, I don't, dude, I love the spike hunts here. The over the counter spike hunts are fun.
They are fun. And, that's what I do with my boys.
And you're in the middle of the big bulls.
Yep.
Dude, you should sit, call an elk and play with cows and do your thing. Yep. And then eventually, hopefully, one of those stupid spikes walks by.
Yeah, a little fuzzy horn walks up to see what's going on and you whack him. No, I agree. But there is something to be said. I do. Now, you know, I have older boys who hunt. So the opportunity thing to me is a big deal. Mm-hmm. And I look a lot at that opportunity versus trophy quality. And I'm kind of in the middle.
I am too.
I like 100%. Big bulls, but I also like that my boys get a hunt.
Yeah.
And so I'm kind of stuck in that trap where some guys who don't have kids or don't care are like, no, I want big bulls. And you can't fault them for it either.
No, not when you have to wait that long for a tag.
Uh-oh. Anyway, okay. Well, we've got a couple other things to go over.
Uh-huh.
I probably, normally I keep it to an hour. You know, that's how long it takes people to get to work. But I really do want to talk about two hunts.
Uh-huh.
I want to talk about your sheep hunt
because
it's awesome. You shot a stud, and I had packed my bags to participate, and you were done.
Yeah.
And then the other one is your Antelope Island hunt.
Sweet.
Only because it's a monster of a deer.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to know what it's like to walk up on something that big. So anyway, so let's talk about your sheep hunt. You drew a desert sheep tag in Utah.
Yeah.
On the somebody had turned their tag back in, so you were a secondary option.
Surrendered tag. Yep.
Yeah.
And I got the call during the archery season.
Yep.
On a year that we overbooked ourselves. One of my guides, Josh, had broke his back. Not guiding. Honestly, he doesn't know what happened. Probably an old injury.
But he's okay now.
Yeah, he woke up one morning, couldn't use his legs.
Oh, geez.
Called the emergency room. The ambulance came, did some scans. He had one of his, like, pads between your back bones, the discs.
Yeah, yep.
Had smashed and pushed into his spine. And
pinched some nerve or whatever.
Easy fix. They opened him up, spread it, put something else in, and 6 weeks later, he was walking the mountain again.
Unreal.
Yeah, medicine's awesome.
It is awesome.
But you know, I'd taken on a couple of his guys. We were shorthanded. We overbooked, shorthanded. You know, rifle season came in, killed some nice bulls. You know, got a couple more, 350, 370. My guy, we got lucky, killed a bull that just migrated, 390.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Which was cool because I think that was JD's third boulder tag.
Oh, wow.
And first time hunting with me, and we just made a good play on a good bull.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Sheep. So, you know, I made some phone calls. Eventually, once I had his bull dead, we rolled into Muzzy, but Bennett was like, I got this covered. We're good.
Yeah.
Took his Muzzy guy, killed a 360-something. But that weekend, I went into one area of the unit. I think we walked 22 miles in 2 days and didn't even see a track.
Ugh.
Nothing.
Yeah.
And I knew I was walking into the hard side of the unit. Like, there are areas where people were like, dude, they're all over. And then there are other areas that...
You were looking for a specific sheep, were you not? Somebody had said, hey, I saw a sheep in here last year at this time.
Yeah.
And he's a giant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and that was the second. So the... You know, we came back from that one a little defeated. I had taken off 3 weeks work. So I had from the 13th to November 5th to just hunt.
Yeah.
And I was super excited. I'm like, I'll figure this out. It's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and if I don't, I don't care. 3 weeks hunting sheep, can't go wrong. Like,
you were in some beautiful country. We're talking Red Rock country, guys. Just beautiful, beautiful country in southern Utah.
Beautiful, awful.
It's awful to get into.
You walk all day. You don't have any shade all day.
Yeah, very exposed. You're right.
I put on my, like, I had the thin Stone Glacier, like, hooded stuff on.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't take my hood off all day.
Yeah.
Because you had no sun all day. Like, you're just out in the...
No shade. You were only sun.
Or yeah, you got that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's brutal terrain. and you're walking in sand. So if you had to walk 6 miles, 3 of it is in sand, but 3 of it is on slick rock.
Yeah.
So the slick rock's kind of easy to walk, but the sand was terrible. I'm not kidding. Like when we moved to shifted terrain, and I think we did 9 miles in one day. Yeah, I didn't think I'd walk the next day. I hurt. That sand sucks, dude.
Yeah.
These sheep guys are pretty cool. So the second trip I had a guy say, "Hey, I shot my ram in here, but I missed a really big ram here."
Yeah.
And he dropped me a couple pins, which was really cool of him. I'm like, I can do that. So we load up my camp trailer, and I had 3 weeks worth of crap.
Yeah.
And I had my buddy Corey coming to film from a couple companies. They were going to come film the hunt, but he couldn't be there till Sunday the 15th. And you and Jeff were coming the 15th.
Yep.
And one of my guides, Aaron, was going to cover another area. He was leaving the 15th, but I left the 13th.
Yeah. And Jeff and I had big plans.
Oh, yeah.
We had big plans scouting for you.
I was excited about the whole thing, right? Yeah. Like, and so we load up my trailer. I drop that off. We go 11 miles down a dirt road and drop my camp trailer off as far as I dared.
Yeah.
And it was the same weekend as that solar eclipse. So there was a million people.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
Like that was the, southern Utah was the
totality of it, right?
Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Where it's the perfect circle.
Yeah. The ring of fire.
Right. So there's a million people down there. And I didn't see it because we went hiking, but when my guides came, they were like, hey, there was one guy riding a scooter down the road, like naked. There was an old lady. And this is a crappy dirt road.
Yeah.
Like, I remember seeing
in the middle,
like,
of the desert.
There's a bunch of Subarus, but I mean cars, like a Hyundai going down this really crappy dirt road. I was like, what's going on? It was the craziest thing. So, anyway, we get that trailer set up, and our food stored, and trucks locked, and everything set up. And then we took the side-by-side another 47 miles.
Jeez.
Yeah. We loaded the gas cans, loaded, and we set up a spike camp.
47 miles just like straight bombing, or were you having to go in and out of canyons and switchbacks, or is this just like straight down the ridge?
Kind of both.
Wow.
You know, it is what it is. But to get to where this guy saw this big sheep, it wasn't somewhere I could take a truck.
How long did that take you?
A couple hours.
Yeah.
Jeez. So we get down there, and we're getting there right at first light, and I'm like, crap, we're supposed to be 2 miles in by now.
Yeah.
So we just park the side-by-side where we're going to have spike camp, and we throw all our crap under the side-by-side because there's no trees, right?
Yeah.
And we just take off.
Hiking at this point.
Yeah, and we get walking, and we're 3 and 4 miles in. We hadn't seen a track. We're not seeing sheep. We get up on this plateau, and right when we're kind of cresting the rim of the plateau, I'm like, oh, sheep tracks. Cool. Remember, I still hadn't seen a sheep.
Right.
So we walk over, and he had pinned a glassing spot, and we walk over the glassing spot. I'm like, yeah, this is cool, and I'm looking around, and I start dropping my pack and unloading my scope, and we're going to sit in glass for 4 hours now, right?
Yeah.
Take a break, whatever, eat lunch. I look over, and there's 4 sheep staring at us at 80 yards. I'm like, oh, crap, there is sheep.
That's awesome.
No, it was like one of the coolest days ever because I hadn't done a sheep hunt in 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, I think the last one I'd done with Jeremy Joyner, like, in 05.
Yeah.
And we went from draw to draw and hit a couple little plateaus, and I think we came walking out seeing 21 sheep that day.
Oh, wow.
Right. Like, and it was, I mean, there was only one ram, and he was like a 130 type, really young, like full lamb tips. Just, it was cool to watch.
Yeah.
And he
you're
had
seeing sheep.
9 ewes with him.
Wow. So is the rut on right now? Then,
yeah.
When you're hunting?
Okay. Rut's going. I was told by the biologist down there that the rut starts October 15th, and that was the 13th or 14th.
Yeah.
So we go walking out that day, and I'm right on the Arizona border.
Mm-hmm.
I was, you know, we'd gone that far on the side-by-side in the truck, and I think we were only 12 miles from Arizona.
Wow.
Like, we're way down there.
Yeah.
I had really good service on my hike back to camp. But where we were glassing and from my camp, I didn't. So we're walking back. I'm like, I'm going to call this dude that told me about the big sheep. I'm like, hey, today I saw 21 sheep. And he goes, what? I said, yeah, it was awesome. Saw 21 sheep down here. He goes, cool. what do I do tomorrow? Same spot. Really? And he goes, yeah, like, if there's that many ewes, the rams are going to come.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you're right. Cool. That's what I'll do tomorrow. I'll keep you posted. We get to camp. We set up our tents, get all our spike gear out. Like, you know, we're sitting doing our meal prep stuff. And we're kind of laying there. And I'm like, hey, tell my buddy Jerry, dude, there's another spot just like this one. Like, I'm looking at the terrain. I'm looking at the layout of the little plateau. And I'm looking at some of the drainages. I'm like, it's 8 more miles down the road. It looks just like this one. I don't need to kill a sheep right now. Like, we're kind of scouting.
Yeah, you're looking.
I got more people coming to help. It's just going to get funner.
Yeah.
Let's go check this out.
Yeah.
We'll come back and check on these ewes the next day.
Yeah.
He's like, I think it's a great idea. Let's do that. Got up a little earlier, went 8 more miles down the road.
Hiking or driving that side by side?
We're on the side by side.
So you're 50 miles in now on a side by side.
Oh, yeah. But I think... Yeah, because the total would have been to hit Arizona was 57 miles.
Oh, wow.
So that's how close we were down there. And we kind of get out. And on our way down, I passed 2 trucks. I was surprised, one, there were trucks back there.
Yeah.
One had non-resident plates, and my immediate thought was Outfitter. I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, they went out on this tow. We're going past it, going to the next tow. I don't care.
Yeah.
So we get out on the next tow. Get out. I marked 2 glassing points. Get out on the first one. We sat there for 4 hours. Didn't see nothing. No sheep. Yeah. No tracks. Mike, let's go check this other. We kind of had an argument. He thought we should go south, check out this other plateau. I wanted to go north. I'm like, I got to see this drainage. I just want to. So we go up to my second glassing spot, and we're literally 5 feet from where the pin is, and look down below us, and there's a ram.
Cool. Oh, nice.
So, which was awesome. Had my bow. Had my gun. They're walking, well, he was walking towards us 500 yards or so.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, that's cool. Like, let's just set up and see what he does. Well, then all of a sudden he shows up with 2 other rams. There's 3.
Nice.
And 2 of them look nice.
Yeah.
So this unit isn't great. Like, it's known, like, I think it average kills 152. It's 100% success rate.
Oh, and wow.
Yeah. For the last, like, 3 years.
Wow.
But people don't typically kill big rams there.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I kind of have set, like, I'm not passing a 160 type ram. No way.
Right.
Like, there hasn't been many killed on that unit that broke 160. So I'm looking at this sheep and I'm like, oh, he's freaking borderline, you know? And they're sitting there and I'm like, well, maybe they're going to come our way. If they do, they're going to hit this face and I can get on with my bow. Like, I'm kind of excited. Like, this is awesome. Well, we're sitting there watching, and I see that Outfitter.
Oh, really? Across, you're looking at him.
Yeah, across from us, and they're looking our way. And I range him 1,100 yards, and I don't think anything of it. I'm like, well, they're over there. And it's a big gorge between us. They're on an entirely different big plateau.
Right. They're not hunting the same sheep. I mean, they wouldn't be from there. They would have to move, right?
You wouldn't think. So then, you know, I'm not worried about it. Well, all of a sudden, all these ewes start coming out. And there's a pile of ewes, and 4 more rams come out.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's a big group. And we're watching them, and my buddy knows a lot more about sheep than I do, and he's like, dude, we don't pass that one. Like, that one is a big one.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. And I'm still in my mode of, like, I'm a bow hunter. I want to kill him with my bow.
Heck yes.
And I start doing the math. If he's 500 yards away... And they're 1,100 yards away. They're only a 600-yard shot, and it would be down. Maybe 550.
Yeah.
Couple of clicks of the turret, and that's a dead sheep.
Yeah.
And then I started to worry. I'm like, crap. Like, we could be literally sitting here on one of the best sheep of the unit. That might be the one they're looking for. That's the Outfitters. That's what they do.
Yeah.
And we're watching them, and we're watching the sheep, and I'm like, he's right here. Like, I'd be stupid to let this sheep walk.
Yeah.
Square up with the rifle, done. Like,
anticlimactic.
Yeah, like, no, I've never been so sad. Like, and it was awesome. It was a beautiful shot. One shot.
Yeah.
Sheep literally hit the ground dead.
Yeah.
Didn't know what hit him.
And he's a giant. He's a stud.
Oh, from what I told, and I don't know because I'm not a sheep guy.
Yeah.
There's only been a couple killed sheep killed of that size
in that unit.
Mm-hmm. And all of the three that have hit that category have all been guided. Like possibly one of the best DIY sheep ever to come off there.
That's awesome.
If that's true. I still don't have them scored.
Yeah.
We kind of, you know, did our little green score.
I don't know anything about sheep. I just held him and I was like, wow, that's an awesome sheep.
Yeah. So. Well, he's cool regardless.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever it is.
And it's a once in a lifetime in Utah. Like.
And then I just sat there and panicked. I'm like, well, I can't walk down to the sheep till I make some calls. Because I had.
Yeah, because everybody's coming.
Yeah, I had one guy driving. He was already 4 hours out of North Dakota.
Oh, shoot.
I had you guys packing up your stuff.
I was waiting for Jeff to pick me up, actually. I was packed.
Right.
We were ready.
And then Aaron, he was driving.
Wow.
And so, you know, I get a hold of the camera guy first. Hey, I'm really sorry. And he's just brokenhearted. He was looking forward to that hunt.
Absolutely.
And I told him, I'm like, dude, I'm going the 13th. You should be there. And he's like, I just can't. 15th's my day.
Yeah.
So it was that. I felt bad. And you know, you and Jeff were like, cool, man. Nice job. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't a big deal.
No, we wanted to be there and we had big plans because we were coming. Mm-hmm. We were scouting for you from, we were using jet skis.
Yeah.
So
right.
We had big plans.
But yeah. Well, I mean, it's not like it's a huge secret where the sheep was.
No.
Like, it was right on Lake Powell, and, you know, I was hunting the rims above. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And it would have been fun to have you guys down there, and we would have found something.
Yeah, and we would have fished.
Right. But, so, I was excited, but at the same time, and I call Aaron. This was cool about my guys. You're praising my guys, and I got to praise my guys.
Absolutely.
So I call Aaron, and I'm like, dude, I'm sorry, I'm done. He's like, what? You're kidding. I'm like, yeah, I just shot a sheep. You're not excited. Yeah, I am. I'm really excited. I'm just, we did 22 years. It's over.
Yeah. Yep.
It's so weird. Like, it's just done.
Yeah.
Like, I had all this stuff built up in my mind, and I had all these plans. Dude, you look at my map, and you think I'd spent 4 months down there. I had so many pins.
Yeah.
I spent 3 days.
Yeah.
And anyway, so he's like, cool, I'll see you in a couple hours. I'm like, dude, I'm a long way down here. He's like, okay, I'll see you in 4 hours. I'm like, I might see you at dark.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll beat you. I'm like, okay, cool. So we went down, busted up the sheep, took pictures.
Yeah.
Got it in packs. It, you know, by the time we did pictures and all the stuff, we'd moved it. We found a little hole in the sandstone that if I crouched, me and the sheep fit in there. So I had a little bit of shade to sit and cape him out. And
oh, yeah.
Do all, which was cool. Like, I had them completely broke down to meat, antlers, and cape.
Yeah.
Put them in our packs. We'd just come out of the hole, and there's my guys. And it wasn't just Aaron. He swung by my elk camp, and he grabbed Bennett, Josh, Jed.
Like, all of them came.
My whole crew, like, walking in. Everybody but Wes and Brian, who did the Antelope Island deer. Like, it's like the whole crew just came walking up, like, hey, let us take your packs. Need some water?
That's awesome.
So
dude.
Cool.
I'm so sad I didn't get to be there. Yeah. I mean, I'm happy for you, but I've never been on a sheep hunt either.
Yeah.
So I was stoked to do it. But, dude, that's fantastic. That is a testament to your guys because they drove down there to pack out a sheep, and they didn't have to go very far, right? Packing, if I remember right. A couple hours or something.
Yeah, it was 4 miles in the sand. Like, it was a walk. I'm glad they showed up. Like, I had a calf cramping, like,
yeah,
and I was in pretty good shape. I'd walked right out of elk season.
Yeah.
Like, that is tough terrain.
It's just different, right? It just uses the muscles different.
I look at those guys like Randy Johnson, and I'm like, what are they doing?
Yeah. I have a friend, Alan Wood, who you spoke with actually a little bit, and that's what he does. He's a sheep guy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, he guides mule deer and elk too, but he's a sheep guy. That's his favorite.
Yeah.
And they're just, those dudes are tough, man.
Oh, yeah. Here, and I've had one of the Foss brothers, Cam, came to my camp 1 year for elk camp.
Mm-hmm.
I've had Willie in my camp, Willie Hettinger, twice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, legendary sheep hunters.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I take them around the mountain, they're like, look, dude, sheep are cool, but what you do here, this is a different level. Like, different game. Because we put miles on.
Yeah, you do.
And those guys were awesome and sweet of them to say, but man, that desert country, like those sheep, like that is some hard terrain.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So that was really cool. By the time I got to the sheep, you know, I had to put my phone away. We didn't have service at that point. I was out of my head. Like, that was exciting.
Yeah.
Like, to actually hold, like, sheep antlers are concrete. They're just big, blocky, heavy. Like, they're wild.
They're awesome. And it is heavy. And he is big. And I hope I get to do a sheep hunt for myself someday. My wife is going to be, she's close, a couple years, and she'll draw Rockies in Utah. I'm about 460 years away from drawing desert sheep in Utah. So hopefully I find the fountain of youth and
or just get really lucky.
Yeah, or just get lucky. Because they do that. That sheep you were talking about with Jeremy, that was his wife's, wasn't it, that you're talking about? Or no?
Yeah, and she drew and Jeremy had it too.
She drew with like 2 points or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there is some luck out there. Yeah. Maybe I'll be that guy. Well, let's. We have one more hunt I want to talk, because we're going to get this out there. A lot of people have seen it, but you had the opportunity to guide on a pretty exclusive piece in Utah. It's called Antelope Island, and Antelope Island is it's just it sits on the Great Salt Lake. There's only 2 tags available. How long ago did they start this hunt? 5, 7, 8, 10 years ago? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I bet like
they
12.
They only allow 2 tags a year. Mm-hmm. One is an auction tag, which you guided, and then the second is a draw, like only residents can put in for it.
Yep.
And you actually got to guide that one too, right? Your group.
Yeah.
So you guys got this exclusive hunt on a big island in the middle of the Great Salt Lake, which is not an island right now, probably, but
yeah, it still is.
Is it? The water moved up enough to make it an island-y?
There's a big channel in the middle, but
oh, gotcha. So anyway, tell us about that. You know, this was a prep was a long time, hunt was short.
Oh yeah. Well, my guide Brian did that tag last year for a veteran. The tag last year was bought by someone in like a senator, and donated back to the state, and they gave it to a veteran.
Yeah.
Which was really cool.
Super cool.
The guide Brian, he guided that. That was part of the stipulation that Brian and Blake got to guide this veteran.
Yeah.
So what that does, so you get access to the whole island, which nobody else can. I mean, you can. There's trails all over that island. There's roads all over that island. But you can't take vehicles on the roads. Mm-hmm. They're for, like, emergency access. They're all gated. And if you are a pedestrian, like if you are on foot or horses, you can ride horses on them too. You have to stick to the trails.
Gotcha.
You can't, like, veer off the trails anywhere. And you know, and there's all these, there's just red tape. It's a state park.
Yeah.
You know, you register when you go in, you pay a fee to get across the causeway. It's a pretty cool place. I'd never been on it before.
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of surprised. I was surprised at the amount of people there, just like on a Saturday. But I was surprised there's a lot of buffalo.
Really?
You know,
that had to be fun.
I go to the Henrys and, I mean, you see buffalo.
Yeah.
But you got to put in the work to see the buffalo. There's 900 buffalo on that island.
Really? That high? Wow.
It's stupid. They shouldn't be. They eat it down. It's a golf course.
Really?
Yeah. It's bad.
Interesting.
Like, there's coyotes everywhere, and there's only 100 deer, and there's about 100 sheep.
Do they have sheep on it still?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So Kuyu, like, was one of Brendan Burns' projects, replanting sheep. They're Brakes sheep.
Gotcha.
Good genes.
So that's good genes, yep.
And they look awesome. Man, I saw some really nice rams.
Good.
So,
good. Because they had an issue out there.
Uh-huh. Well, yeah, they had, if I remember right, they were Californias.
Yep, they were.
On there, and they ended up getting pneumonia, and all of them died.
Yeah.
So they, you know, check the health of these Brakes sheep, which they can't effectively do, really, but brought them. We've been hoping they're good. They look good.
Yeah.
Like, man, I saw some nice rams.
Well, the Missouri Brakes has a giant sheep.
Yeah.
That's out in eastern Montana for anybody who's...
Six-year-olds in Montana, those Brakes rams, they break 180. Like, that's crazy.
Wow.
We just don't get that in Utah.
No.
And I think these sheep look about the same. The collared sheep, the actual sheep from Montana, didn't look as good as the sheep that weren't collared that were, like...
Had been there.
Born there, yeah. I don't know if that's effects from the transport.
Yeah.
I don't know what the difference would be there, but, man, there's some young sheep that just look awesome.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, Brian put in his homework. You know, last year they killed a 240-something.
Wow.
When we bought this tag for Jimmy, like I told Jimmy, hey, best deer on the island's like 210. He's like, it's fine. Like, let's go have fun, kill a sheep. It's a perfect hunt for a guy like Jimmy.
Yeah.
He had a lot of money, very little time, likes to be in and out. Mm-hmm. You know, and for what it is, he knows where the money goes. Mm-hmm. He's really cool about it.
Hey, a lot of that goes to those sheep.
And the deer and the sheep benefit from 90%, which is $450,000.
Yeah. And so, you know, for me, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for the guys that do that because that's what funds that whole program.
Right.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Right. No, I think it's incredible. And I didn't learn all that until he bought the tag, and then I kind of really looked into it because I had to learn all the rules. There's actually just a ton of red tape you got to do to hunt that place. You can only have a couple guys.
Yeah, I wanted to come help, and you're like, sorry, dude, can't.
Yeah, you can only have a couple trucks, too, and they have to be registered. And, it was kind of a complicated thing.
And
because it's probably so many public people there.
Yeah.
Like, so, you know, Jimmy's hunt, the nice thing about that is, you know, Brian found the deer in May, June. We got a bunch of trail cams on him. I mean, he stayed on him all summer. That was his only job, was take care of that deer.
Yeah.
Once the deer was found, scare away the competitors, whatever you got to do. The hunt's during the rut. It was November 13th when Jimmy finally got to come in and kill him.
Yeah.
So the rut had been going. Does had been bred.
And he's the only hunter up to this point. Like, no one else is allowed to. He's the first guy that's allowed on the mountain.
Yep. The auction guy, the local draw guy couldn't hunt till the 15th. And at that point, he hadn't claimed his tag.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there were some, Jimmy actually thought about hey, let's let him live a year.
Yeah.
Let's buy it again. You know, the money's good. Let's just, and I was like, mule deer's not that way, Jimmy.
He might shrink.
We have to kill this deer this year.
And
it played out perfect. Nice thing was, you know, about a week before the hunt, he came onto the side of the island. He'd been kind of hidden from everybody all summer.
Yeah.
Like, to get back to that deer, you would have had to put some miles on.
Yeah.
Like, and put in a bunch of homework.
Yeah.
Which a lot of guys, a lot of photographers, the people who spend all summer back there aren't willing to do. Mm-hmm. So nobody really knew about the deer until right before the hunt, rut kicks on, a doe drug him over to the main part, and all of a sudden people knew. Made it a little complicated. What was nice is the night Jimmy flew in, he kind of went back up in, away from all the people.
Yeah.
So we were able to get on him the next morning, get him into position, made a clean, quick kill. I mean, it was beautiful. Had beautiful shots. We're way up on the ridge. Like, it was a cool thing.
And he is a giant.
Yeah.
He is far bigger than 210.
Yes. Yeah. Green scored. Brian got him at 262. And that's kind of where he felt like he was. I wasn't sure the deer would break 250, but
It's nice to be conservative.
Well, even at that, it's hard to put those kind of inches together. Non-typicals are tough.
Yeah, I bet.
I remember doing Mark Hogan's deer. You know, that's the only other deer I saw over 260 in my life.
Yeah.
And we watched him all summer. And I remember saying, you know, he's got a 190 frame, maybe 195.
Yeah.
With 50 inches of extra. He's going to go 240, 243. And when he died and had a 217 frame, that deer ended up going 267, if I remember right.
Yep, correct.
Huge. I never thought I'd see anything like that again. Well, Jimmy's frame's different. And I didn't think he had a 185-inch frame.
Right.
And I'd have to ask Brian, but I think he was 207 on his frame.
Yeah, that's what I remember you saying. He broke two for sure.
Yeah.
What, that deer, so tell me, what's it like walking up on a deer that caliber? I mean, this is crazy size.
Wide he was, 41, 42, 41 and a half.
Jeez.
No, he's stupid wide. Like, just laying there, his head gears up to your chest.
Unreal.
It's like walking up on an elk. is the weirdest. Just watching him was just like mind blowing.
Surreal.
Yeah, and it, you know, a lot of people are like, ah, it's an island. How hard did you really have to work?
I don't know. Doesn't, I mean, in the end, doesn't matter.
Someone entrusts you a tag with that kind of money. Do you just, well, we'll just wait till November and see what shows up.
Yeah.
That's not how I work.
No way.
No, we put in the time. Brian worked his butt off. Brian and Blake Bateman and Brian Heward, like, put in so many hours.
That's awesome.
Dude, I can't even tell you, like, our photo album from trail cameras. Because, I mean, we stacked it on those deer, right?
Yeah. Like,
Brian knows there's 56 deer on that island. That's it.
Yeah.
Like, he knows exactly what's there.
What, well, the story doesn't really end there either. You guys go in, you kill this giant deer, biggest one on the island.
Uh-huh.
And you also know who number two is, which is still a phenomenal deer.
Uh-huh.
But the story didn't end there, did it?
No. No, so...
This is even... This part's pretty cool, too.
No, this was, you know, and I mean, Jimmy is an awesome person. Like, the fact that he does what he does, and man, just like, you know, I killed a big bull with him in Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of like hate and jealousy and comments that people made about his weight, about his effort, about everything they could do to find to pull him down.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy just laughs it off and no big deal.
Like, and in the end, Ryan, I know you feel the same way, but I, you know, we watch a lot of what is going. That money is going to good places for the haters too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these are the amount of money just dumped into sheep in Utah in general. A large portion of that money, since we started focusing on sheep, you know, back in the Carl Malone days, comes from these kinds of people.
Mm-hmm.
That dump a lot of money into Utah's wildlife programs.
Right.
And I think that's the one thing, sure. Does he have you guys looking and he shows up and shoots and then he's gone? Yeah, well, you know what? That's his style of hunting. You guys do a lot of the scouting. And but he did donate to the cause to make this program better and to help it continue to grow giant whatever
that
for us.
A lot of these people are, I mean, the very thing they're complaining about, their opportunity comes from the same place.
Yeah.
There's a sheep herd in New Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember if it was the Taos or in the winter, they kept coming down to this highway and trying to cross the highway, and one by one, they'd all get picked off, and the herd kept just totally dying.
Yeah.
Jimmy was one of the guys that came in and funded a fence and crossways for the sheep on this big highway. Cost him like $2 million.
Wow.
The reason why whatever herd that was is alive and thriving is because some of the money that he donated to help put in that fence.
Him and guys like him.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that sheep herd exists, and there's people who draw those tags and fulfill their dreams from money that came from some guy that just came in and shot him off his mule.
Yeah, who cares?
Right.
Like, who cares, and
the first day I met Jimmy, which is what's cool, he's like, look, dude, I'm not sneaky. I'm not a good hunter.
Yeah.
But I love being outdoors. I love shooting things.
Yeah.
Like, you can't fault me for that.
And he has the means to do it.
Right. Like, so I'm going to hire you. You're my sneaky guy to figure it out for me.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's fair. I'm sneaky. Let's do it.
Yeah.
You can't fault him on it.
No. I don't disagree with that.
Never tried to pretend who he's not.
I think it's a percentage of income. I've hired a guide before.
Mm-hmm.
You and I went guided in Ohio for whitetail, right? I mean, those guys work hard to try to get you on the best opportunity possible, and they're scouting all summer and doing their thing and setting up tree stands, blah, 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 right? They work hard. But you and I, that's what we could afford.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, hey, what's the difference?
Same.
He affords the same type of opportunity, if you will. I mean, it's different, but what I'm saying is he's hiring guys to do a bunch of work so he can come in and hunt. Like, I'm going to go try to kill a giant whitetail with this outfitter, and I'm only going to do it in 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have some DIY places you've tied up over the years that you love to hunt. How much time are you spending to figure those out? A lot. It took you years to get your ranches figured out.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm just like, man, it's, I don't know why the argument is out there. I think I think I don't know. I just tend to lean on, hey, thank you, because now I get to do it.
Right.
The deer on the Oak Creek that anyone can draw, and they're killing giants. Mm-hmm. Well, guess where a bunch of those deer came from? The transplants.
Yep.
Antelope Island.
Yep.
Yep. So all these guys hunting these giant deer on one of the best units in the state of Utah came from transplants that they did to help with
genetics.
That
were funded by a bunch of these
dudes that have money.
That hunted with Doyle that killed these giant deer.
Yep.
You know, and man, credit to Doyle for, like, from a perspective of someone who's never done it. Like, right? Like, that tag got thrown on my lap. Jimmy was like, you're taking care of this, right?
Yeah.
Dude, what a headache. You know, nothing of it was, like, insanely hard, but all of it tied together is hard. The red tape you have to cross on the island, the money invested, the time spent scouting, the getting the guys here to actually put everything together.
Yeah.
And tying it wasn't like a cakewalk.
Right.
Man, he's done that year after year for a long time.
And has brought a lot of money to the state.
Brought a lot of money. Like, an insane amount of money. That's why our Oak Creeks look good. That's, I mean, it's not just him. It's the nonprofits that help. It's the state agencies putting the crap in.
But we're talking about the guides and the hunters right now.
And it's just, I just think it's so awesome. Yeah. And to contrast it going into what you're kind of prying at.
Yeah. The end of your hunt.
Yeah. That, you know, I get home, I unpack my crap, I'm wiping all the sheep blood off my pack. You know, I didn't pack Jimmy's deer. Brian took care of that. I had to take Jimmy to the airport.
Yeah.
So Jimmy's on to make money somewhere else. Like, that's what is, I'm going to buy more tags.
Yeah.
See ya. So I get home, I'm unpacking my stuff, get a call. The local guy finally claimed his tag. Mm-hmm. We're 2 days into the hunt. Jimmy's was Monday. This kid started Wednesday. It's Friday morning. Mm-hmm. And I get a call from the kid's dad. And a super nice guy. Mm-hmm. He's just like, look, I was told you guys have done all the scouting out there this year. You kind of knew what was going on. You'd be the best guy to call. How does it work? And I just said, look, dude, like, if Brian's interested, we'll go make it happen for you.
Yeah.
Like, it's that simple.
Yeah.
Had to get a hold of the state, see if the rules were the same, because I wasn't sure.
Yeah.
The park manager was just awesome. He was helped coordinate things, get things ready. I just told him, I said, well, I'll head out there tonight. I'm going to go check on a couple deer. I'll see you guys in the morning.
Yeah.
So I'll repack my crap. Like, literally just turned around, got back on the island, and got, you know, me and Brian kind of split it up. Brian went one way, I went another. I filmed a nice deer, probably low twos, but spindly, 3 years old. Mm-hmm. Like, man, he needs some years, but he looked awesome.
Yeah.
I filmed him and another deer. I like the other one. He was probably mid, low 80s.
Yeah.
They're really, the complicated thing was that big deer was the only big deer there.
Yeah.
Like, there's some nice deer on the island. There's a lot of 185s to 195s.
Yeah.
But there's not.
260.
There wasn't another 260 running around or 210 or.
Right.
Like, they just weren't there.
Yeah.
And so, these guys show up, and they were just awesome.
Young kid, right?
Yep, the kid with the tag, McQuaid, I think he's 20. Brother Brady, who has just followed us every step. Mm-hmm. Just encouraging on his brother, like, hey, that was awesome. And
yeah,
thank you guys. Like, I bet I heard thank you that day 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Which,
that's so cool.
I don't hear that.
Yeah.
I do when animals die, but I don't have clients following me around going, God, you're just awesome. Thank you. You guys are awesome.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't hear that very often. And that was super fun.
Yeah.
Just a good contrast. He's just, McQuaid forgot his boots. He showed up. He, like, had to swing into Walmart, grab some Brahma Bull. Like,
Just something to go across
good
the
family.
That's fantastic.
The dad was a seminary teacher, taught with my uncle for a long time.
Yeah.
So they're sitting in the causeway 5:30 in the morning, sleeping in their truck.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys go to a hotel? Like, oh, no. We didn't get here till 2, so we just pulled over and slept.
That's like, awesome.
You guys are crazy. They're just like, well, we didn't really sleep. We're too excited.
Yeah.
Which, yeah. How awesome. They have family history on the island. Like, so the guy's dad and his father-in-law used to, like, help with the buffalo roundup. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it was that island, but they had Shetland ponies, like wild ones.
Mm. Interesting.
They helped get them off the island. I don't know anything about all that.
Yeah, me neither.
But, you know, they had family history there. They were excited to be there.
Yeah, chasing giant deer.
Uh-huh. So we just kind of opened up the file, said, hey, here's all the deer walking.
Yeah.
Like, these are the ones we'd suggest. And the first one he picked, we went and looked at and got on him, and he was like, Cobb be an awesome deer. And Brian talked himself out of it. he's like, that's a great deer. Like, his just frame just isn't there. He's in the 180s. He might hit 190, which is an awesome deer. It's not what the island's famous for.
Yeah.
And he's like, and it's the first morning. Let's go see something else.
Yeah.
And we start going to look for this other deer. And on our way there, we bump into a deer that we thought was told left.
Yeah.
In fact, I think Brian said someone showed him a picture of the deer in some cornfields.
What?
Which there's no cornfields on the island. He would have had to have crossed the causeway somewhere over into Syracuse or something.
Wow.
And so he's just there, and Brian's like, no, this is the deer. And I kind of looked at him skeptic. And he's like, Ryan, he's bigger than you think.
Yeah.
And it was just completely meant to be.
Yeah.
You know, we checked the wind. We made a quick play. We were working in on him and actually jumped the deer we were hoping to find in there.
Yeah.
And it was cool to see the two, because I'm like, no, we definitely shoot this one. So we get in there. Kid makes an awesome shot. He used Brian's fierce gun, and I don't forget, 170, man, just dead deer.
Yeah.
And I love that. I don't. Yep. Dude, I'm getting soft in my old age. I'm telling you, I do not like seeing animals die anymore.
Yeah.
And if they just go quick, I'm just so much happier.
Yeah, absolutely.
So this deer dies fast. You get him down there, and the kid's just out of his mind. He's grateful. Deer's a lot bigger than I thought. Mm-hmm. He was 203 busted, probably 205 put together.
Yeah.
Just huge mule deer.
That's awesome. Typical.
Yeah. And we were able to set him up, take some great pictures. There's nothing but gratitude there. Mm-hmm. And it was crazy. There's probably 60 mountain bikers that saw us walking in. So they all like stopped and watched. You know, I bet the stock was an hour and 20 by the time we got up there and got set up. And they all just sat there and watched and set their bikes down. And the second the shot went, they all clapped.
That's fantastic.
And what's funny is, you know, we took so long taking pictures. Eventually, they all just left. But it was just crazy. It was just such different. A weird atmosphere to be in.
Yeah.
Got criticized. People thought they saw the head all riggied up and the meat spoiled.
Oh, geez, of course.
I don't think people realize, like, how heavily regulated that island is.
Yeah.
Like, on our way out, we have to check them in.
Yeah.
There's probably 6 officers on that island at all times.
Gotcha. Wow.
Like, you're not going to waste anything.
Yeah, because they're going to nail you.
And honestly, I mean, we had to hike up to get to them, so it took a while. But walking out, 30 minutes, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a mule deer to me that... Yeah. Breaking down a mule deer is like coyote to some people.
Broke down, yeah,
for me that was just awesome. And
well, you're always going to have the guy that wants to be mad about something.
Well, yeah,
and that's okay.
And then you know, as we're caping out the face, he was one side he was missing 2 teeth, lower molars. Other side, his jaw was completely snapped in half.
What?
Uh huh. And you know, as we're caping him,
fighting,
he had no body fat on him.
Oh, I don't know. He was dead.
That was a dead deer.
Dead deer walking, yeah.
I just thought, man, how awesome was that?
Yeah.
Went to a good kid, broke 200, which I didn't think we'd do.
Yeah.
And was a dead deer walking. Perfect deer.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
That is fantastic. What a way to end your hunting season as far as guiding goes.
Right.
I know you still had some hunts, which we could talk about hunts, I'm sure, forever. But we've gone a little longer than we normally do. But I really wanted to touch on those 2 hunts, and I specifically wanted you to end with that, your last guided hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a kid that's just, you know, it you just lucked out, mm-hmm. drew an amazing tag, and then you guys to go in and take care of him like that at the end is just, I think it's so fantastic. And then he kills a giant deer to top it off.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, thank you for being on. We've gone past what we normally do on time, but appreciate you being here and had a hell of a season.
Thanks, buddy.
If you guys don't know who Ryan is and you like looking at giant elk, he has, I would say, one of the better Instagram pages for big elk. I think you do a phenomenal job with that, posting elk photos. So that's Ryan at DC Outfitters on Instagram,
yeah.
if you want to follow him. And then you can also message him there if you happen to draw an amazing tag in Utah. Really anywhere in Utah, because you have people you can refer them to across the state. So if you draw a tag in Utah and you're looking to be guided, Ryan is a great guy to reach out to. Of course, you can reach out to us at Total Archery Challenge, and we can also forward you to Ryan.
Sweet. So
that's how we do it here.
Yeah.
Who's your outfitter, Ryan? So
appreciate
anyway,
that.
Okay, man. Thank you so much.
You
guys, we'll catch you on the next one.